Now the dream that I dream of my heavenly home, and I know that I am going there someday, Lord, someday. It may be morn or not a noon, but I do not know just how soon. That's why I'm sending up my timber every day. There's a great consolation for heart aches and pain if you just send up some timber every day, Lord, every day. And the hope that he have given, we know the word of God is true. Pearly white mansion waiting for you.
I have no idea what Blind Willie is singing about right there.
Something about a pretty white mansion.
He's talking about sending up his timber every day. I don't know what that means.
I think it's a metaphor.
I haven't sent up my timber in a while.
Hmm.
And certainly not every day. It is the Free Brian and Vinny Show. It's Monday night, August 18th, 2008. Aired figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. I am battling a headache.
Me too.
I believe it was that Super China Buffet day.
We ate so much our heads burst.
We're going through withdrawal symptoms of a day of excess. Such excess. I ate. I had massive amounts of caffeine. I had liquor. I had cookies. I ate some more. Now I've tried to be normal today. Failed.
I've eaten the same stuff I eat every day, yet I find myself wanting more.
Well, I hope that you weren't eating the same stuff that you ate yesterday every day.
No. I've eaten...
You found yourself wanting more?
Yes.
I certainly don't. I didn't even want to eat this morning. I had to force myself to eat today. That's why our bodies are different.
You don't say.
Just thought I'd throw that one out there.
Yeah.
Super China Buffet Day, everybody. It was a fine time. If you missed the show yesterday, the SummerSlam recap, we ran down everything that happened on that fine day. So make sure you check that one out. But anyway, we have Raw and SmackDown to talk about today. We got some shout-outs.
Yay.
Of course.
Willie's back.
Wrong button. We have some shout-outs, of course. And, you know, we'll play some songs here and have a good old time.
That sounds so awesome.
This song, for example. Monster Mash. No. We're not starting with a song today, everybody. We're going to make you wait. And I just can't think of any good songs to play here. So, how about this one? And what a start we are off to
so
today.
Perfect.
All right. What did you think of Raw?
Kind of a strange show. Not really a bad show, but I remain convinced that as far as the pay-per-view main events goes, that Mike Adamley actually is booking these things.
I don't know what to say. I talked about the, what do they call it? The six-man, five-man, the championship scramble.
The scramble, yes.
They just had Jericho called the six-man scramble. I think that's better anyway.
I'd be in favor of that. And video game once had that title.
He should be in the match anyway since he beat CM Punk tonight in his hometown. Which,
well,
if any of you thought that was going to happen, think again.
You have not been paying attention to this company for the past decade or more.
So they've added a match for the pay-per-view, and the individuals involved are CM Punk, Kane, John Cena, Batista, and JBL. And they're going to wrestle for 20 minutes, and a pinfall can happen at any time. Anybody who gets a pin is the champion. So if Kane pins JBL, Kane is the world champion.
Oh, it's even dumber than I realized.
And the match continues.
Okay.
And the match goes on and on and on. And when the bell rings after 20 minutes, whichever man's the champion, he's the champion.
Oh, wow. I missed
a fantastically stupid idea.
I missed the part about being able to pin the non-champion to win the belt, so it's even dumber than I thought.
All he said was, if you get a pin, you're the champion.
Wow. Wow.
I mentioned on the Dave Show that sometimes there's ideas that have never been done before, and there's a reason for that.
Yes.
There's a reason there's never been a reverse battle royal. Because it's dumb. Because to try to pretend like you can't get in the ring... First off, I'm not going to go on about the reverse battle royal. It's dumb, everybody.
Right.
It's fucking stupid.
You know what else is stupid? The championship scramble.
It is stupid.
Yes.
This was a very TNA-rific gimmick here that I never like ideas where a championship can change hands multiple times in one evening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so great. JBL pins Punk. Kane pins JBL. Batista pins whoever I just said. And then CM Punk pins him and leaves with the title.
Right.
Whoop-de-fucking-do. So we've got three title changes. Now JBL's like a two-time champion or something like
champion
that.
With the second title reign going perhaps 3 minutes.
This is ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. I hate the idea. And I would actually... We were doing booking ideas on the other show, the Observer show.
The real show.
If Jericho got involved, and at some point during the match, Chris Jericho pinned CM Punk, for example, and won the title, and he was about to leave with the championship when Shawn Michaels cost him the title and Punk retained, this I would be fine with. If CM Punk went in and nobody beat him the entire time, fine with it. If CM Punk went in and somebody pinned him, JBL, for example, and left with the belt, fine. I do not want to see, and they threaten this. You will see the title change hands many times.
They did not threaten this. They promised it.
Bad.
You will see multiple title changes is what they said.
This is such bad business. It's just, it's lame.
Well, so we could theoretically see JBL pin Kane win the title. Minutes later, Cena pin Batista to win the title. And then minutes later, Punk regained the title by pinning JBL.
Sure.
Wow.
Or maybe somebody will get DQ'd punching Punk and he'll win the title on a DQ. I have no idea.
See? Okay.
I'll just put it this way. I will not hate this if there are no more than two title changes. That's the minimum that I will allow. That's the maximum I will allow. Anything more than that and you're just devaluing the title with each successive title change.
See, they actually did this years and years ago with the old hardcore title.
Which was a title nobody cared about.
Which was
about.
A joke title anyway, and it actually turned out being fun because in that title, at least, you had to pin the champion, so it became the champion running away from 15 angry men.
Yes.
This is even dumber than that. And the part that actually is not as dumb as the match itself, but when you look at who is in this match, it is clear that winning and losing does not matter anymore in this company.
No.
There are 5 men in this match. Let's review. CM Punk is the champion. If you're going to have a championship match, you need the champion there. That makes sense. Dave Batista is in this match. Dave Batista just pinned the other biggest star in the company. He should be in there. Now, the other 3 men. JBL, not 24 hours ago, faced the champion and was defeated clean with his finisher in the middle of the ring.
And he's been beaten like a drum over and over.
Well, he'd be seen in the other pay-per-view. So he has that win. But regardless, he had his title shot. He came up short. There is no controversy. It's illogical for him to be there. You have John Cena, who 24 hours prior lost to Dave Batista on pay-per-view. And come to think of it, the last pay-per-view was beaten by JBL. He has done nothing to earn this shot.
And he was pinned in a tag title match last week.
And he's pinned in a tag title match this last week. There is no logical reason for him to be there. And then you have Kane, who has not done anything.
He stole a man's mask.
He's been walking around. He got new music. That's why he's
in
the match.
And Chris Jericho, who pinned the champ tonight, is not in the fucking match.
No.
This is bad. I just don't have high hopes for this. There is a slim possibility that it will be fine, but I am concerned. I do not need to see 5 fucking title changes in 20 minutes. That belt will be a complete... You might as well rename it the Hardcore title. Why not?
Well, I shouldn't say that. I was about to make a joke and then realized it would be very tasteless. But regardless, it will be a joke title if every guy wins it twice.
So anyway, let's go over this show. There was good stuff on this show. A lot of it, in fact. But there were also two things that were not good. In fact, I'll go over the other one right now that really sticks in my craw.
Really chaps your hide?
Kane came out to his new Dracula music, and I don't even know how this...
I think I know exactly what you're going to say, but go ahead.
I don't even know how I didn't think about this last week. But Kane comes down to the ring, and he's explaining that he kidnapped Ray 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. He said he beat him up in a parking lot. In a parking lot, he beat him up, and he's alive, but his spirit is dead.
So anyway, to cut to the chase, Batista ran out, and as he's attacking Kane, the announcers explained to us that Batista and Ray are longtime, close, personal friends.
Right.
And I thought, he is such a longtime, close, personal friend that Ray Mysterio Jr. has not been seen by his friends or his family for 6 fucking weeks, and this is the first Dave has heard of this?
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
Ray never picked up the phone or tell Dave, by the way, Kane kicked my ass, please get him.
Not even that. Yeah. Not even that, Vince. I would guess that Ray and Batista in storyline are closer friends than we are in real life.
Okay.
How many days do you think you'd have to go up missing before I'd think something was up?
Two at the most.
Two at the most.
Yes.
When you didn't show up for Raw, I'd be sending you angry text messages.
Yes.
Saying you better be dead right now, motherfucker. And in this case, you may have been if you were Rey Mysterio. 6 weeks. His family didn't call. His family didn't call and say, hey, Rey didn't come home 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
None of his friends knew. This was not a topic of conversation within WWE.
No, Rey just...
This is the stupidest angle I've ever heard of.
Rey just got beat up in a parking lot and just kept it to himself.
It's not even like Kofi Kingston. It's nothing about keeping it to himself. He didn't come home. Ray was supposed to go home to his family 6 weeks ago, and he's up and seen.
Wait.
There's no concern here?
When did they say he was missing? Kane just said he basically said he beat him up in a parking lot.
He beat him up in a parking lot, and he tortured him.
Yes,
and this
yes.
and the other thing, and stole his mask and all of his other bullshit. I presume Ray didn't just go home.
Well, I got the impression from Kane's speech that he did. Ray... got to his feet, dusted himself off, scratched his head where his mask used to be, and said, fuck! And then went home to his family in San Diego, never called Dave, never called anyone in WWE, just moved on.
So again, it's stupid either way!
Yes.
This made me angry. I don't even know how I didn't even think about this last week. How could this not have occurred to me until this show?
Because you're mostly just concerned with how dumb that angle was.
This was TNA-rific. There's no way that I can bury Impact and not bury WWE for this idiocy.
No, they deserve all this bullshit for feasting their bullshit upon us.
Lame. A lame angle. And then Dave had the idea. He goes, I hope this doesn't mean Ray comes back without his mask.
That would be bad.
And as stupid as it would be, I mean, how stupid would that be? Ray only has one mask. But you know what? When you look at the rest of the storyline, maybe he does! Maybe he does not have any more masks.
Well, we've seen him wear a different mask on every show as long as he's been here.
Perhaps he dyed it.
Perhaps they're disposable.
Perhaps they are.
They're only good once.
Jesus Christ. He couldn't just wear a bag? He should show up with a bag on his head, a paper bag with holes for eyes.
Or a Zorro mask.
No, that's not good enough.
A Lone Ranger.
I want a paper bag. I want a paper bag like the Baghead Bandit with two eye holes and a smiley face on it. Or a mad face, even better.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Cube. This is what needs to happen in the storyline for me to give it my endorsement. Otherwise, it's shit. So, with that rant out of the way, the show... Actually, you know what would be a very fitting thing to play right now? Even though this applies to WWE.
The Egotistical Eight. Yeah.
The Deuces Wild Tournament. The shittiest tournament in wrestling history. Super Eric and Eric Young. Vince Russo. Get sick when I'm around, I can't stand to be around, I hate. Impact.
TNA. The opening recap.
The entire show in general. A reverse cage match with the girls.
Okay.
Fuck you, Vince Russo. Just fuck you.
Did they actually do that?
They did.
I don't remember.
Because remember Velvet Sky, we were waiting for her to climb the cage?
I don't.
This program, Impact. We're not even talking about Impact. We're talking about WWE.
I can no longer talk about wrestling without talking about Impact.
And I actually think the Kane storyline may be stupider than anything we've seen in Impact all year.
It's really
like, as
dumb.
Far as things that make sense.
It's really, really dumb.
I mean, it's really fucking stupid for all the babyfaces to assume that the bat must belong to Sting. That's pretty damn stupid. But maybe there's just a group of really damn stupid people working for TNA, and they actually believe this. Fine! I cannot believe a single thing about this Kane storyline. Not a single thing about it is in any way believable.
No. You're correct, Brian. It's a terrible angle. Someday, this will be wrestle crap. Perhaps even as we speak.
Why are Kane and Undertaker always involved with this dumb shit?
That is a great question.
It's always these poor bastards.
I remember...
Kane just tossed a man to hell!
Yes, no, Undertaker did, but yes.
Or Undertaker. I didn't even go crazy about that, but let's break that down. He chokeslammed him off a ladder through the ring, and flames came out.
To hell.
Explain in real life how this happened.
Edge plunged into the earth, through the mantle, deep into the core, into hell, and then fire shot out.
Fire!
Yes.
At least in that instance, I can believe that Undertaker hired some minions to hide under the ring and light towels on fire when he chokeslammed Edge all the way through it off two ladders. I can believe that such a thing is possible. Probable? No. But possible. I cannot believe that Rey Mysterio, that this occurred to him, and it was a mystery to all. Completely, my disbelief cannot be suspended in such a manner.
Well, you're a right-thinking human being. This show is not for you.
Let's talk about Raw. Actually, the left brain part of me would be tearing this apart.
I meant right in the sense of correct.
I see. Jericho came out in a fancy suit and said he was not there to apologize for what happened last week. And if anyone needed to be sorry for what happened to Sean's wife, it was Sean. He said he put Rebecca in harm's way. Sean did. They showed a recap of the night before, which actually may have been better than the angle itself.
I thought so as well.
This is the best angle of the year. It's not the best moment because of Ric Flair's retirement. But this is the best angle of the year. And this was one of the best video recaps in WWE history. Phenomenal. So, anyway, people were booing Jericho like crazy. And he stood in the ring and soaked in the hate for like 2 minutes. And I thought, you must pin CM Punk tonight and win the heavyweight championship of the world. You must be the champion. I will not take no for an answer. And unfortunately, I had to. But half of my wish came true. But not the important half. So, anyway, Jericho then said, you know, Sean should have sent a letter of resignation.
That was a great line.
Or something like that. But instead, he came out to placate his ego. And he wanted the people crying and screaming for him not to go home. He said, this was all Sean's fault. You should have done the right thing. Instead, look what happened. Your career is over. The last moment will be you on your knees, cradling your wife and knowing you were responsible for this. And he finished up saying, to be honest, Sean, I think you deserved it. You had it coming. And that was the end.
And then he just walked away.
Of a fabulous segment.
This was so awesome, yes.
Fabulous!
We'll start with a video recap.
This was everything that the Kane angle was not.
It is the polar opposite of the Kane angle. That's right. They aired the video recap. It was great. Watching the punch again, this punch was the best punch in wrestling history, I've decided, because Rebecca Michaels actually had the back of her head towards Jericho at the time that when his fist started to move. And then she turned to look at him, and his fist intersected with her lip. And it was perfect. It could not have been any better. The timing was phenomenal. The timing was exceptional. The timing was precise. It was everything it had to be. And then, as you know, the best part of this whole deal was they went back to the arena. There was passionate, vile hatred for Jericho. Passionate hatred. And he just stood there. He didn't say anything. He didn't pose. He didn't make any funny faces. He just stood there and let them hate him. And it was beautiful to watch. Beautiful.
So then we had Mike Adamly. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We had Batista against Paul Burchill, who I hope is not unemployed tomorrow. And Dave destroyed him. And then he walked to the back.
Burchill did actually get the heat at one point.
Very briefly.
Very briefly. And it worked over Dave's leg, but even that was wrong. Paul Burchill getting the heat on Dave Batista, bad idea.
There was a giant clown in the crowd.
There was a lot of funny stuff in the crowd tonight. Just, I don't know if Chicago's always like this, but there was a point later, well, it was in the Cena Priceless handicap match, where there was four empty chairs, and five fat Mexicans showed up to sit there. And they sat there, and then the one guy was left in the aisle, and so he just stood there. So an usher came up and discussed and said, "You can't stand in the stairway." And so finally he just disappeared. Then later in the show, there was a guy who had just a picture of an enormous head in a Boston Red Sox cap. He kept holding that up. There was all kinds of insanity in the crowd tonight, and it was greatly entertaining.
So anyway, he killed him. That was that. Got a big ovation. Then we had Adamly backstage saying he was pleased to introduce us to the newest member of the Raw roster, Primo Colon. And as Primo was about to speak, Adamly said, "Oh, hold on a second! John Cena!" And he ran off.
This is the worst debut I've ever seen.
And Cena then blew off Adamly because he'd seen Big Dave and he wanted to shake his hand. And he told him the better man won. And then he added, "But that was last night," and off he walked. So the tease is there for the second battle.
Indeed. Yes, Primo Colon, they did mention he was Carlito's brother. He got about four words into his promo. By the way, I also like that the general manager is still doing backstage interviews.
Yeah.
He's multitasking. But yes, the general manager then blew him off to interview Cena. And as noted, Cena completely blew him off to talk to Dave, which we look down the chain of blowing off
now
here.
Now you know the pecking order.
Yes. And there's a great gap in between Primo Colon and Mike Adamly, and then Mike Adamly and John Cena.
Jillian and Katie Lee against Kelly Kelly and Mickey. Jillian sang a song first, and it takes quite a bit of talent to be that awful, I've determined. And she also has lost about 40 pounds, I would say. She was rail thin, and that's the good news. Bad news is she had a bad night. She did not look good, and it broke down into the four-way. We had the baby faces with a double drop kick to Jillian's abdomen.
To the belt, I believe, actually.
Katie tried to pin Mickey with a surprise roll-up using the tights, but Mickey kicked out and then DDT'd her for the pin, and they actually showed a fucking replay of the drop kick to the gut.
Yes. Jeez. And talked about how great it was. And Kelly is Kelly, so I'll forgive her. Mickey, I expect more out of her. I expect talent out of Mickey James, and I didn't get it. That disappointed me. The highlight of this match was, without question, Katie's thong. Her pants kept slipping down. She had to pull them back up, and it was great.
Also, this is supposed to be the kids' show, but they were plugging WWE Magazine, where you can find out how far Katie Lee will go on her first date and the 50 sexiest things a diva ever said. Somehow, well, I bet they're not all that sexy, I would say.
As to the first one, maybe she doesn't do anything on the first date.
Could be.
Maybe she just shakes hands.
Maybe she just holds hands. Then we had the WWE fun fact, which perhaps you can explain to me, Vince. The fun fact this week was that more people watched Raw last week than Monday Night Football.
Well, speaking of, does the sentence itself not make sense to you?
Was there Monday Night Football last week and I missed it?
There was, but technically there was. But it was a practice game that doesn't count and nobody watched it.
That was the stupidest fun fact. Even I was not fooled.
Well, there you go. Yes, they're... They're pointless anyway. What they're doing is, the fun facts, all they do is they advertise to the people watching the show that lots of people watch it with them.
Yippee.
I don't know what this accomplishes.
JBL killed Jamie Noble. Not much talk about there except the finish was fucked up. I guess they wanted to do a ref stoppage, but the ref decided to count, and then apparently as he was counting, he was screamed at to just stop the match. So he did. It was completely fucked up, and I hope we don't have another referee on the unemployment line tomorrow. But we just may very well. They said Shane and Steph would make a blockbuster announcement after the commercial. It was
liars.
The announcement of the wacky, whatever the fuck it's called, chase for the championship or championship shit.
And it was not Shane and Steph.
It was Adamly. So there you go. And we talked about that enough. We had Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase come out for a match with John Cena. You read that right. Crime Time's music hit, and they stole the belt, so apparently they've still got them, because we never saw an angle of them getting it back. And then we had Cena beating both men. He made his own comeback, tapped out Rhodes with the STFU, tag belts.
Useless.
Useless.
Put them on eBay.
I've noticed this every time. I've said it every time, and now hopefully people will start listening to me. Every time the tag champions are on the verge of getting over, they must be buried.
It's true on all brands now.
This happened to Miz and Morrison over and over. Every time there was like a match or a moment where it was like, wow, those guys are a great team. They had to be humiliated the next week. These two guys beat Batista and Cena last week. And so they had to be shown to be geeks this week. It's just how they do it.
Well, actually, they didn't even wait that long. As you recall, they were shown to be geeks after that match immediately.
Well, that's true as well.
And then they are further reinforced to be geeks here when they just couldn't beat John Cena.
It's retarded.
He just kicked both their asses.
He couldn't just beat Cody Rhodes.
No, he had to beat them both.
Retarded. So then Cole said that Rebecca had a broken jaw, and they went to get some words from Michaels as he was leaving the building from the night before. And Cole asked what her condition was, and Michaels looked at her and started to leave. But then he turned back and went to Cole and said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to comfort my wife. I'm going to comfort my kids, who just saw their mother get punched in the face because of me. And then he walked away.
Just started to shake.
That's right. Awesome.
Yes. This is what a guy would do if his wife just got punched.
I would have punched Michael Cole if I were him.
Well, that's true. There's various things guys could do if their wives got punched. Right before this point, they showed Harley Race in the crowd, announced him. He stood up and waved. It was all very nice. What's funny is that earlier in the show, they were panning a crowd shot, and Harley made TV. And I thought, Jesus Christ, Harley Race is there, and he's just there. They didn't know. Maybe he just bought a ticket. And then, of course, they showed him later.
Todd interviewed CM Punk, said he was going to teach that geek Jericho lesson Chicago style.
He was very angry at Jericho for causing all that carnage the night before and then coming out here and having the audacity to blame Sean. Yes, he was going to teach him a lesson in his hometown. Words to never say in this company.
Santino and Beth came out, and Santino faced D'Lo Brown, who is in fact still employed. Kofi did commentary. They had a major screw-up getting the heat. D'Lo was supposed to come off the ropes, and Santino would sweep his leg, and Santino just forgot. And so D'Lo just jumped off and landed on his ass. And I was like, wow.
I had to watch this about 8 times to figure out what they were trying to do. I don't know if Santino was... If D'Lo was supposed to jump and Santino was supposed to dodge, I don't know if he was supposed to sweep his leg
in midair.
It looked so bad.
Idiot. So anyway, D'Lo made a comeback.
This, by the way, they also replayed it. They replayed the double dropkick to Jillian's belt and the part where D'Lo just fell off the ropes.
And welcome to Impact once again. We had the girl hit the ring, and it was not a DQ until she actually slapped D'Lo Brown. Even though she'd prevented him from doing his move, this was not a DQ for a woman to get in the ring. So that was retarded. And then
Santino got beat up by D'Lo and Kofi, and then Beth escorted him to the back, and that was that.
Yippee. Then we had Kane, the Kane segment.
This was where his new music debuted. They showed a red light in the hallway. His music played. He walked through the hallway and then went to commercial. Wow.
So anyway, we recap this, but basically he said he didn't like Ray Jr. And then Batista came out and...
He actually said he's like the fungus that grows in the marshes of your psyche.
Who writes this shit?
I don't know. I suspect not Kane.
This segment was awful, and the dialogue he was given was even worse. So, 2 thumbs down. And then, of course, Punk versus Jericho. Punk had his Chicago Cubs gear on, and he was in Chicago. He's from Chicago. He was super over. They had a good match, and Punk ended up hitting a bulldog off the top, and he went for the go to sleep, but Kane jumped up on the apron, and then Jericho, of course, ran them together and hit the code breaker for the pin. And, I mean, Jericho had to win here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have Punk beat Jericho after the Shawn Michaels stuff. It just wasn't going to work. And since Jericho's not in the match, it didn't make sense for him to win. So the easy answer is this match just never should have taken place.
Correct.
But if the match took place, I guess this was the right finish. If they can add Jericho to the match maybe next week.
I guess. I just thought, I knew as soon as it was all put together that Punk was doomed. But I thought for sure that perhaps one of the other guys in his wacky five-man main event would interfere to somehow build to that. Instead, Punk was beat, so he was de-elevated, and thus, since no one else was out there, the entire match was de-elevated.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have somebody interfere because I realize that's not saying much on the show, but that makes no sense because you don't even have to pin Punk in that match. It does not matter that Punk's even in that match.
It would just be one less guy you have to compete with. You just attack him or try to take him out of that match.
Okay, yeah, but looking at this logically, he's your biggest fear in this match.
There's a valid point.
I would be trying to take out Batista, for example, or John Cena. Not the
guy who loses all the time.
Yeah. So anyway, good match. The finish was expected. What the hell can you do? So,
quite the up and down show there.
It was an up and down show. What's this?
Funnier though, is this...
It's not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
It could still be funnier.
I'll wait.
Damn. And this just fucking sucked.
No Sheiky yet. No Sheiky.
I didn't add that. There you go.
That's it. Wow. Okay, yeah, that sucked. I was going to say, it would have been funnier. First of all, they only needed to go through the course one time, and it should have been the same Kali drop each time. It was just do-do-do-do-do over and over again. That would be funny.
That would have been funnier than that?
Yes.
I don't think that drop could have been funny. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, let's play this.
I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Won't my mommy be so proud of me? I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Ouch! You stung me!
You know, I said that one time on one show. It's been 3 years now.
Still not funny either. All right. We'll run down SmackDown really quickly. SmackDown, it was fine, if I recall correctly.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while. I don't remember a goddamn thing about it, except...
I seem to have lots of notes. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Shelton and Jeff Hardy had the same match with the same finish, and it wasn't as good. And I didn't think the finish was any good like I did the first time. So that gets almost an entire thumbs down.
Yeah.
And they fucked up about 25 spots.
Yes,
and I concluded, this is the best match two men could possibly have, screwing up this many spots.
It was a bad night for Jeff in particular, screwing up everything. And then his punches never looked good, but tonight they were just quite effeminate and bad.
Well, he had a bad elbow.
Oh, well, there you go. And then the match ended, MVP ran in, and there was a big cluster there. And it ended with Jeff Hardy laying out MVP and Shelton Benjamin, and I thought, wow, it's Michael Hayes' dream segment.
Yeah. Vicky met with Victoria and was freaking out about if she'd seen Edge and Undertaker anywhere. Vicky has had some good acting lately, and this was not it. This was horrible and not even funny horrible.
No, and it was not going to get any better for her. What was good in the scene was Victoria, and in particular her jeans and that spiderweb top thing she was wearing. That was hot.
Michelle and Maria against Natalia and Maryse. This was hot. Especially Maria's breasts, which were gigantic.
Maria and Maryse were also... These segments happened back to back, and I thought, is something wrong with me that I'm just getting lonelier and these girls are getting hotter? But of the five divas that had appeared on the show so far, three of them were especially hot.
Until they started wrestling.
Oh, no.
Maria,
I remember this now.
Maria and Maryse together was something to behold.
I actually wrote this
a number of different ways.
I actually transcribed this move for move. Didi lockup. And I use that word very loosely. Maryse Didi go behind into a push. She just pushed her away. They did another poor lockup. Maryse Didi leg trip, almost falling down in the process. So in that way, she's actually improving. Then she climbed the ropes and posed, and then she tagged out.
Yes.
That was everything they did.
High spots.
High fucking spots.
So anyway, I was never so happy to see Michelle tag in. And then Maryse distracted her, allowing Natalya to... did she get the pin, or was it the sharpshooter? I forget.
No, she got the pin, and she the pin by being in Michelle's guard.
Oh, that's right.
And then just laying on her. That's why jiu-jitsu won't work in pro wrestling.
So anyway, it was a good booking to set up a title shot. Then we had Brian Kendrick against Colt Cabana, who worked as Scotty Goldman. And they brought Ezekiel into the ring, and he got to speak for the first time ever when Kendrick said, "Am I the best guy in WWE? Can anybody compete with me?" And Zeke nervously said, "Not a one, not a single one."
This was so dumb.
Bad.
All they he had to say one word, no.
No.
1,000 times better. No, he had to say something, and it was bland and effective.
So they had a fun match. They even had an inset for Scotty Goldman talking about his debut.
He got an intro, he got a promo, and he had his own music and a Titantron video, and then they had a competitive match.
And then he lost.
He did lose. This is not as bad a debut as, for example, Primo Colon.
That's true. That's true.
He had a presentation and a competitive match and lost to a guy who's getting a push. So it's not the end of the world, but not the best way to make your debut on national TV.
And then Zeke laid him out with a shoulder tackle.
A shoulder tackle.
He now has two moves. We can confirm that.
Yeah, but one is the torture rack. That's a fine big man move. A shoulder tackle. Not a diving shoulder tackle like the Road Warriors.
Ran him over.
Not the pounce like Monty Brown. No, a shoulder tackle.
Man's got a hell of a shoulder tackle.
He is a big man.
Eve interviewed Triple H, and as he was talking, Kenny Dykstra walked up and made a challenge.
No, really, who was it?
Bad idea. Bad idea.
Kenny Dykstra interviewed. All I could think was, these two men have some very large noses.
Kali cut a promo about the pay-per-view. Ron Jin Singh translated. The fucking guy is so vanilla. I know why they don't hire Larry Sweeney, because everybody wants it. That's the only logical reason.
The best part about Ron Jin Singh is he used to be just a guy. Now he's trying to look cool. He's grown his hair out a little. He's got sideburns. He's got like a fancy jacket and jeans on like he's going clubbing. You're not cool, dude. And you're not supposed to be cool because Khali's there. You're just supposed to be the guy who speaks for him.
So anyway, then we had Khali at the announcer's table as Hunter destroyed this young man, Kenny Dykstra. And then he dragged Ron Jin into the ring, and so Khali made the save. They had a fucking hideous, hideous brawl.
No, it was awesome.
And then Hunter clotheslined him over the top, and they had to do about 3 different angles and 25 jump cuts. Awful.
This was significantly worse than every moment of the match at SummerSlam.
Actually, let me say something else about this show that was fucking dumb while we're on the subject. Hunter laid him out and sent him packing. Jericho beat up Shelton and MVP. Both of these men were going to the pay-per-view, and they left TV with their heads held high. What the fuck am I paying for?
You've already seen them get their revenge?
What am I paying for? After Hunter, at least when they put the head squisher on Hunter last week and left him for dead, it's like, boy, I hope he can overcome this.
Yeah.
What the hell am I paying for?
Now you know, yes, he can.
He beat the man up, he clotheslined him out of the ring. What would I possibly need to buy this pay-per-view for?
Don't know. To see them
have a match?
I guess that's it. To see the actual encounter. There were 3 things that happened here real quick, 3 or 4 things I want to touch on. They already had a promo for their SummerSlam, the History of SummerSlam DVD pack, where you get every show ever. And they showed various things there. Hulk Hogan was in there. The TLC match was in there. Also, fake Undertaker was in there, in case you want that moment. And I just found this interesting. They aired... They talked about historic first title wins. And they showed Randy Orton's first title win and him celebrating with a belt, which is only notable because of who his opponent was in that match. I'm not going to say anything else. Then there was a moment where JR was talking about how SmackDown last week was the number one watched show on television... other than the Olympics. And he may have said that actually faster than I did. He got that trivial little detail out of the way as quickly as he could. And then there was a great moment. There was one shining moment in that Hunter Khali segment you overlooked. After Hunter killed Kenny, Ranjan, he went outside. He was menacing towards Khali or gesturing towards him. And Ranjan got on the mic and started to talk about, "You don't want anything of this man. You can't handle him." and Hunter grabbed him, and Ronson screamed into the mic, "Ay-ay-yo!" At any time anyone's holding a microphone and then gets assaulted, guaranteed laughs. So that was good.
Big Show punched out Ryan Braddock.
A worse debut than Scotty Goldman.
And there's nothing more to add.
Was that Seven, or was that some other guy?
I have no idea.
Just a semi-large guy.
I have no idea. MVP did a promo backstage and said Jeff had a shitty year, but it was going to be even shittier at the pay-per-view when he put his boot in his ass. I'll say, that would be worse than my house burning down if someone actually got their entire boot in my ass.
Worse than your dog dying?
I don't have a dog.
Well, again, Jeff MVP mentioned that again. Your dog died. They're using the death of Jeff's real-life pet to build to the opener at SummerSlam.
Vicky was lamenting to Victoria again and demanded to get out of there, and so she got wheeled outside, and there was Edge in the limo, like a scene from a cheesy horror film.
In fact, it was cheesy because it was so poorly done, the camera panned over too far, and you could see him just sitting there waiting for the winner, waiting for his cue. And bad, she, bad TV.
So scared, she fell down whimpering, and then he helped her up and put her in a wheelchair and said they were going to go for a ride to hell, and it would not be fun, he noted.
Victoria just vanished. Just gone.
Edge made this utterly retarded segment funny. I gotta give the guy credit. In fact, every segment he was in after this, except for the last one, he made great. And really, there was only one more. Then we had Festus against Vladimir Kozlov in a shockingly fine match. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would say that. Jim Ross called it, and I quote, a battle. And he had to have said that for me. This was a battle. They beat the crap out of each other, and Festus hit the ropes and then ran right into a diving headbutt for the pin. Shockingly decent.
It was. Kozlov, one of two things happened here. Either Kozlov has gotten much better in his selling, or Festus was really just beating the piss out of him.
Yeah.
There was at least one shot to the face where Kozlov just immediately bailed, and it was fun to watch, and the weird thing is, I didn't say weird, but Kozlov pinned Festus, which doesn't seem like a big deal, except when you think about it, I think the only other guy to pin Festus was The Undertaker.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
I give this segment two thumbs up.
There's nothing bad about it.
And there was also a grown man in the crowd that had a biscuits and gravy sign.
That's good.
Edge was ramming Vicky into stuff backstage, and she screeched in terror, screaming at the top of her lungs, and all he was doing was running her over speed bumps.
Yeah.
She was selling it like he'd been jabbing her with a poker.
I found her more annoying here than she was in that earlier segment. She was just shrieking and shrieking and shrieking to the point of annoyance, and it was over stuff that was really not a big deal. It did not make me sympathize with her. It really didn't make me hate her. It was just bad.
And then Edge wheeled her to the ring and demanded she apologize to Undertaker for what he was going to do to him, and went on this big tirade about how she was pathetic. Edge was burning in hell. Undertaker was burning in hell with him. Why wait for SummerSlam? Of course, Undertaker didn't show up, and so he vowed that at the pay-per-view he was going to make good on another vow, which was till death do us part. And then the show ended with people chanting for Undertaker and Edge kneeling over Vicky and looking to the heavens, and too much. I have seen this couple doing their stuff too much. I'm getting sick of it. They were awesome for a while, and the last three shows, it's steadily been going downhill. And as much as I love Edge, I will be glad if they take him off TV for 3-4 weeks and bring him back fresh.
He was.
I have seen enough.
He was really good as the crazy guy, but it got to be too much. And I kept waiting for the segment. The segment, you could tell they didn't know how to end it, and so they just had the show stop. I kept waiting for something to happen in this segment. For lightning, or the Undertaker's dong to go off, or Chavo to make the save and get beat up, or something. I kept waiting for something to happen, and it never did. So that was kind of a fail. There was a great thing right before this, where they already Cena versus a Batista video package. It went almost 3 minutes, and then they aired this ran down the SummerSlam card. It went almost 2 minutes. They did 5 minutes. Of television devoted to nothing but trying to sell their pay-per-view in 2 days. What a novel idea. Longer than most Impact matches.
Shocking.
They did nothing but say, please buy our show, it will be good. What a great idea. What a novel concept. I think this may catch on.
Well, probably not. I would guess. All right, we need to read some shout-outs and such. I'm going to play a quick song here, and then we'll get into that stuff. By the way, if you like the songs we play on the show, if you like the show in general, then you should sign up for a subscription.
Should.
If you're a freeloader. Because we do shows every single day. Not necessarily myself and Vinny. We do three shows a week. I do three Figure Four dailies a week and three Wrestling Observer radios. So I personally am doing 9 shows a week, every week. And we've got a bunch of other folks that produce shows as well. We've got the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, Japan Pro Wrestling, and of course boxing and hockey, number of other subjects. The 5-Star Radio Show with Mike Coughlin talking MMA, plus the Tough Talk Show also talking MMA with Mike Sawyer and Oliver Kopp. Got the Carl Stern Show, History of Wrestling, and the Dr. Keith Show, Independent Pro Wrestling. And then, of course, in addition to Figure Four Daily, Wrestling Observer Radio, and the Brian and Vinny Show. So that is 8 programs that we produce on this website.
A lot of audio.
And there's only 7 days per week. There are days when, like, 3 shows are posted on a single day. So if you love audio, if you've got a long commute, if you like to listen to things during work, at the gym, wherever the case may be, and you want more wrestling radio, it's only $9.99 for an entire month.
That can't be true.
If you sign up for $9.99, you get all of the new shows, and you get every show in our archive. So if you happen to have a long commute, like 6 hours...
To the moon?
To the moon, perhaps, and you get through the daily shows in an hour or whatever it is, you can go onto our archive, and we have thousands of shows dating back to 2005. Interviews with some of the biggest names in wrestling, covering some of the biggest events of the past 3 years. The biggest events, in fact, of the past 3 years. It's all available in the archives. And, of course, Dave Meltzer and I both do newsletters. The Wrestling Observer newsletter, called by many the Bible of the wrestling industry. He's been publishing it since 1983. Every new issue is available online the day it's published. You don't have to wait till Monday or Tuesday to get it in the mail. It's online immediately. And, of course, Figure Four Weekly as well. I publish every Tuesday night after I finish the Brian and Vinny Show. And we have a big issue tomorrow covering SummerSlam in depth. So you can check that out. Plus the back issues. There are back issues of The Observer starting in 1991. And we've got back issues of Figure Four dating all the way back to 2001. Hundreds of back issues of the Figure Four. Over 20 posted on The Observer since we merged on June 12th. So plenty of reading material as well. And all of this is available for subscribers. Plus the board where you can get drops and songs and everything else you hear on this show. And if you're a freeloader that has no money, just visit the website because we have free daily news updates. We have free radio shows, actually. Listening to one right now, but we do different ones every week. Got the TV reports and everything like that. It's a bargain. It is a steal. $9.99 gets you everything, and that is for an entire month. So you can't go wrong. Stop subscribing to all the porn websites and come over here. You'll save yourself some money, I'm sure. And the content, quite frankly, it's much better here.
Different, but better.
So anyway, let's play a song here, and then we will read some shout-outs. And shout-outs, by the way, we give shout-outs to folks that sign up. You get a free shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up, email me your shout-out, and I'll read it here on the show.
Immediately.
So here we go. Pass before my eyes are curing. That's not the one I wanted right there. How about this one?
It's very picky, right?
Oh, and I hate Christmas. Dramatic pause.
I love this song. And I hate Christmas. What an irony.
Have a jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be
some competition,
but have a cup of cheer. Have a jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street,
you remember me last time!
And everyone you meet.
How could you not want to sign up to hear that song? Download it yourself. Or this one.
Sash your ass! Sash your ass!
That's it?
Apparently that's it, although it says it's 9 minutes and 5 seconds long.
Skip ahead a bit. See if there's more after this.
All right.
Maybe it's like the hidden track on a CD. No?
No.
Well, well done. Your editing needs a little bit of work.
Well, yeah. I guess he, you know, I don't know how these people do this crap. All right. Let's play some shout-outs here. What was that one Terry Funk song that was so goddamn funny that we cried?
Barrel of Ass.
That's right. I'm going to end with Barrel of Ass today.
Yeah, that or Achy Breaky Ass, which is also quite good.
I don't have Achy Breaky Ass on here.
You don't? It's, you must have it somewhere. It must have a different name. But
it's on a different playlist, I'm sure. All right, shout-outs. Read a couple of these. Hey!
Hey!
I heard you guys give shout-outs on the awesome Brian and Vinny Show to new members of the site. I'd like to give a shout-out to everyone at Waptopia.net, the world's greatest internet wrestling chat room, from Mick, the owner. That's Waptopia, Waptopia.net. To Sam, my grease monkey, Nathan, the resident VWWE gimp, and Nick, who we thought was dead, but isn't, in an amazing reversal of fortunes of Vince McMahon proportions. On a personal note, a shout to my girlfriend Lisa, who was hurt in a car wreck on Friday.
Oh, no.
I know she won't be listening, but just to say, I love you.
Aw.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, that was a true shout-out.
That was a true shout-out.
We don't get many of those, actually. We get lots of stuff.
And sadly, I don't have his name, so I apologize. Send it to me, and I'll read it in a future shout-out. This is from Brefney. Good evening, Brian and Vinny. I am sending you this shout-out to you fine gentlemen, and to announce that I am now an uncle after the birth of my niece and granddaughter, Alexandra Carol Evelyn Marguerite Carty.
Could you read that first part again? Not the name, but the identification of this young child?
Goddaughter.
Oh, goddaughter.
And niece.
You said granddaughter.
Oh, well, niece and granddaughter.
I was so confused.
Strange,
niece and goddaughter,
strange things happen.
Niece and goddaughter is much more acceptable.
We don't know where he's from. Anyway, she was born early this morning, July 28th. Backlogged, everybody. A hearty congratulations to my sister Lucy and her husband Philip, my parents and first-time grandparents Carol and Brendan, to the other grandparents Eamon and Evelyn, and by the way, he spelled Eamon so I wouldn't screw it up, unlike the other Eamon on our site, and to the rest of the family. Thanks again, gentlemen. Keep up the tremendous work, Brefney.
Thanks, Brefney, and congratulations.
Thanks, Brefney. Congratulations on having a niece and a granddaughter. So Josh, a.k.a. Nightfall, I signed up a long time ago and never used my shout-out, so here it is. B&V. I'm going through some tough things.
I was hoping that would be it.
I'm never really sure about these. I'm going through some tough things right now. My ex and I got in a huge argument. She made up some bullshit. And now I only get to see my 14-month son 3 hours a week, supervised. It is the worst time in my life, and I can't help but think about it all day long.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the fact that you contacted us.
My son is the most important thing in my life. I just wanted to let you guys know that while listening to your shows, it takes my mind off things and I can enjoy myself. All trolling aside, you guys do a great job, so thank you and keep calling Brent. I could be on my deathbed, and hearing that Jew would put me in a better mood. Thanks. That's from Josh, a.k.a. Nightfall.
Okay, well.
Well, Josh, I hope things get better for you.
Yeah.
Whenever I read these things, I'm never sure if people are full of shit or not, but I believe you, Josh.
He could be, in fact, BSing, but let's assume for now that he's not, that he's actually going through this trauma, and we'll say, hope things get better, and we can't help you, so.
And we can't help you with Brent, although if you were in the area.
Sorry.
Yeah. Brian and Vinny, this is Ulkamad of Wrestle Hut 2000, the new moderator of it, in fact. I signed up right before the awesome barbed wire Christmas tree TNA script B&V show last year. That was a great show, by the way. And decided to send this in. Available in the archives right now. First off, I want everyone to know that I am the number one ranked TNA player on 4down.org, meaning that I've won the second season when it comes to TNA predictions. This means I understand TNA the most.
Kill yourself now.
Which I find funny because I barely watched that stupid fucking show. My tips for next season for all of you are don't watch it. It works. Okay.
I endorse this plan heartily.
My shout-outs to Brian, Vinny, who we would still welcome with open arms at Wrestle Hut, Brian's harmonica. Please play it. How was that?
You're quick in the draw. Beautiful.
That was a horrible song right there. But I tried. Dr. Keith, Dave Meltzer, Nut Bunnies, Cletus, the 1984 Bengals, Jerusalem.
1984.
Dave Sex, Mob, Weekly Font, Link Numbers, The Rob, Tuss, Cap'n Andy, Come Lord Ron Paul, Raving Sock Monkey, Free Market Gravy, Mass Raper.
These can't be people's names. These are random words drawn
Jimmy
out of a hat.
Jimmy McFreeze and Strenuous Man Flurry.
Except that one.
And most of all, Banjo. Sorry, goons, if I forgot some names. You're all great. Fuck offs to TNA. Join the site, Freeloaders. It's a fucking steal. Probably well over the limit by now, so I'm sorry, Brian. Keep up the great work. Hulkamat!
Woo!
Hulkamat. Believe it or not, we're down to our last shout-out. I'm going to read it
right now. In the backlog? Or?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Brian and Vince, I signed up in June or July for the second time, and it's a pretty sweet deal. I've been in Sydney on holiday for 9 months, and the website and its features and such have been quite invaluable. I'm in Cambodia right now. And believe me, 15-hour slow boat trips are much more tolerable with a shitload of audio and reports and such to read. Every internet place in Asia seems to have cheap printing costs, so an extra 50 cents is worth it to have something to do instead of looking at random families living in shitty huts. Or listening to my girlfriend. Either way. Just one shout-out goes to my girlfriend. We watched Michael Cole being told he had to wrestle a month ago. She asks, "Did he know about this?" I'm like, "In what way?" "Well, did Hacksaw and the King work out their strategy beforehand?" "Seriously." "Yeah, now the King has to improvise." "Dear Lord, she's 23. I will marry this woman." "Fuck off to Tough Talk." "Christ, I hate when complete pussies talk about fighting." That's from Adam.
Why do you listen to our show then?
Adam, do not go to Vegas, because Mike Sawyer, I'm afraid, is not a pussy, and he would eat you. So, there you go. That's from Adam, though. That's it for today, kids.
What a great show that was.
That's all the shout-outs. We are finished. So, let's play a song here very quickly, wrap it up, and be on our merry way.
A Barrel of Fun, starring...
Elvis
Crowley.
She
goes...
Ass!
Come back with those honey muggles.
You forgot.
I did. I got cut off guard.
Ass.
Oh, that's such a great peak. He peaks at the perfect time.
Yes.
All right, kids, we're out of here. We'll talk to you after a while.
Bye.